Voice at the Table provides practical information to ensure people with a cognitive disability have a real and equal voice on boards, committees, and advisory groups. We do this by providing training for people with an acquired brain injury or intellectual disability and through a peer-led monthly meetup. We educate organisations and government departments to use inclusive meeting practices by providing training and resources. But most importantly, VAT tries to make the world a place where everyone is equal and can participate by being given supports they need to contribute the way they want. Our board is disability-led, and our resources and training are co-produced and facilitated by people with a disability. Come check us out, voiceatthetable.com.au. We're gathering together today in this special place to continue our learning journey together. We acknowledge the Woiwurrung and Bunurong people of the Kulin Nations as the traditional custodians of the land and waters of the place where we're recording this podcast, and that sovereignty has not been ceded. We acknowledge and pay respects to the elders past, present and emerging, and we also pay respect to any First Peoples who are listening.
We remember the self-advocates who work hard, really hard over the years for the rights for themselves and for others with a disability to live in the community and to achieve equality and to respect human rights for all. Nothing about us without us.
Nothing about us without us.
All right, welcome to VAT Chat. This episode is about information and how accessible is information in a meeting. Today we have Michael Main. Tell us a little about your self-advocacy work.
We're Voices for Change. We're people with ABI or mental health that have been through corrections. One of the things I do is I send out reminders through text message or email. Our group is on a Wednesday, so on Monday I'll send out a reminder saying, hi, how are you, how you been? Don't forget about our, this is a reminder about our meeting on the Wednesday. If you have anything you want to talk to me about prior to the meeting that you want to bring up, feel free to do so. And, yeah, I hope to see you on Wednesday. And then on Tuesday I'll probably do another one the same. For people that have not looked at their phones or whatever. And on Wednesday, probably an hour before the meeting, I'll send out another one, email or text message. Most of them like text message because a lot of them are like me. They're not very good with the emails and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, they're appreciative of what I do and they like hearing them. Some of them ring me back and voice their opinions of what they want to bring up. And I think it's, relevant and all that sort of stuff. So it helps a lot. We sort of start the ball rolling prior to actually having the meeting. They say to me what they want to speak about or what's on their chest or they've got something they want to speak about or and it's more so to find out they're in good frame of mind as well. So as long as I can help in any way, yeah.
Excellent. So, Michael, you undertook some training to become a self-advocate and in your group you all got together and decided to become a self-advocacy group itself.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, what we did, about six or eight of us sat down and done the training to become self-advocates and our group, we sort of bonded mainly because I think it was because some of us had some inside knowledge of being in prison, like I've been in prison myself. And when I got further and further into the training, not only just me, but virtually the whole group, we started to like what we're doing. We were enjoying it. So we decided to say, hang on, let's try and see where we can go with this. So we went to our facilitators or leaders or the people we felt that this would be good for not only the people with the ABIs and the mental health, it'd be good for people to hear it, hearing it from someone that's actually lived it in the jail system and now wants to try and, not to change the world, but just put things into perspective where people can, they don't have to, it's up to them, that so they can hear our ideas, and our ideas, changes happen. So we have a number of different organisations now that want to, you know, get involved with us, and, you know, like corrections, they want to speak to us, they'd like to hear what we've got to say. We're becoming a partner in partnership with Fitzroy Legal Service. So we've applied for a grant and we've been successful with that grant. So, yeah, we've got them helping us. Yeah, now that we've been approved for the grant, so everything's looking up now, which we're just moving forward, which is really good.
What an amazing story. It really shows what a self-advocate and a group of self-advocates can do and make happen. If you just bundled along on your own merry road, none of this would have happened.
No, exactly. No, and it's good because as we got going as a group, we sort of bonded together really well. And I started to really like what I was doing. I thought, hang on, I can do something here instead of sitting around wasting my life, which I have done for the last 20-odd years. I can really do, you know, I might be able to do some good here. So, and like I said, we bonded, we worked well, we put in hard yards, we've done tried to go about the right way of doing everything. And yeah, we're here today. We've just got our grant, been approved. We're so happy about that. And it means that to me, I just took it as though that, well, the government does want to listen to us, with them giving us a grant. So we can only go forward from here. So, yeah, and like I said, if someone wants to listen and just make some little change, it's all positive. Can't be negative. Yeah. So, the more changes we can get through to people and all different organisations, the better.
Definitely. So onwards and upwards for the Voices for Change group.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yes.
You're listening to That Chat.
All right, so we'll get back to information. And as you know, information comes in a variety of forms, usually paper when we're talking about meetings, but can be emails and things like that as well. Now, I believe you have, you understand the difference between plain English and easy English and our new favourite term, jargon English.
Yeah, I do, but I would just like plain English. That way, you know, until I get to look, like I said, I wasn't the brightest kid at school, but if it's written down in plain English, I can understand it. For me at the moment, that's the best way. To me, I can understand it and I can process it easier. So, I mean, there's nothing better than getting a letter that's written out where you can understand it. I mean, I remember when I was a kid growing up, my mum used to write, you know, getting on in age myself here now, but, you know, the old people, I used to call old people's writing. You know, I could never understand it, mate. My mum used to say, Mum, don't write it in just capital letters if you have to, because I can't understand this old people's writing.
You'd struggle with my writing then. I'm very much an old person when it comes to writing.
Plain English, mate.
Yeah, plain English all the way.
Yeah.
So, as we know, meetings generally have quite a few different types of papers and presentations and, you know, the like, you know, things like agendas, meeting minutes,
yes,
reports, PowerPoints, even evaluations where they've gone through data, which gives you, you know, the raw numbers of, you know, 10 people went to this and 5 of them liked it and 4 of them hated it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the evaluations tell you why and any other information that could be given out, you know, whether it's a one-page flyer for something or, you know. But I believe you have a point to make about PowerPoints.
I'm not really into PowerPoint things. And at first, you know, I thought he's talking about a PowerPoint at the wall. I didn't know. I've never had a PowerPoint meeting before. But yeah, I don't like him. It was a waste of time for me. Although lucky I had my friend there to explain it and all that to me. PowerPoints, because I'm, like I said, I taught myself how to read and write in prison, and I've never had the opportunity to have PowerPoints and all that put in front of me. So I don't really understand them.
It's a good thing that you had your support there with you, your friend.
To help
you get through that.
But
obviously not everyone's going to have that support worker there at the time or a friend with them at the meeting.
Exactly. So, well,
organisations, it's good
to make sure
that all the information is accessible.
Yeah. I mean, to some people they're great, but some people they're not so great. So, and I'm one of the not so greats. At the moment, like, we have little meetings with people and they want to meet up with us only by Zoom. Hopefully there'll be a lot more freedom soon. We can meet face-to-face, which would be a lot better. I mean, if it can't, with the information, with our group, we've just established myself and another member, we've organised to have the minutes and all that written up, and everybody gets a copy of that. So everybody knows where we're at, what we did last week, what we've got coming up in the future. So it just helps so much, you know, like having the minutes and the agenda and all that.
Definitely. That must put a lot on your plate to keep on top of all of that. Do you have people to help you out?
Yeah, we do. We do. We have someone in our group, Mel Keeley. She's a great help, mate. She is one of the million, that lady. We've got two main people in our groups that we sort of look up to, Mel and another guy, Michael. But Michael's did the minutes, a couple of weeks ago. And I said to him the next week, I said, look, Mike, sorry, I don't mean to be rude, but I'd prefer Mel to do this minute stuff because the way she goes out and finds things, it's just great. I mean, everybody's got the same sort of ABI, and people are different. And we have one or two people that really can't understand big words and stuff like that. And sometimes I'm one of them, but I can't understand the big words. But the way Mel puts it across, with Mel, what she's doing, she doesn't know what she's doing. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, she doesn't know how much she's really helping us. You know what I mean? So please don't take that the wrong way. She doesn't know what she's doing. She knows what she's doing. I don't think she realises how much of a wonderful person she is when it comes to what she's doing. You can put that in. She's a good lady. She helps. She goes above and beyond to help us, make sure everything's done. I mean, I have a few meetings a week. Sometimes Mel's in them or hosting them or something like that. But I've got a good rapport with Mel. So it's really good.
Mm. So basically she's putting plain English into action for you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a lot easier to run with than, you know, this old gag and sort of talk and all that sort of stuff. And it's because of people like Mel that, I love getting out of bed on a Wednesday to do the meetings and all that because it's good, mate. It's good. It's a good vibe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that sounds like me on the days when we do the podcast recordings.
Yeah, sometimes you might be feeling down and out. But when you get into a meeting, it just picks you up.
You can find out more voiceatthetable.com.au.
So with all the meetings and that we go to, it's important to get reminders about the upcoming meetings, I think. I mean, personally, I like to get an email a couple of weeks beforehand, if it's a monthly meeting, of course. Mm. And how long do you like to have, you know, for your
reminders?
Yeah.
I mean, if I could, I'd like to have a couple, at least one the day before, because with our guys, and you would have seen it with some other people that got ABIs and mental health, it helps to have a reminder. You know, like I said before, I've been at the supermarket, not realising, I'll be, oh, I've got a meeting, you know, it'll go off on my phone. I've got a meeting, you know, I've got to get home. And or they're ringing me and say, hey, the meeting started, what time you drop it in? You know, like, so yeah, I mean, I'm just doing something. I've got to tell a little lie. I'm out in the backyard doing something.
It really highlights how important reminders are.
Oh, you got
to not just a fair way out, but also leading up in that week leading up to a meeting is very important to get.
Yeah, well, like I said, with
two reminders I think.
Yeah, Terry Mines is good. That'd be good because we have our meetings on a Wednesday, and I normally say Monday in the afternoon. I give them a reminder, and then sometimes there's one person I give a reminder Monday, Tuesday, and in the Wednesday. But normally I give a reminder on the Monday, another one an hour before the meeting's about to start on the Wednesday. So, and it does help. And so a lot of them said, "Oh, lucky, I forgot." You know what I mean? I would have forgot all about that. Yeah, thanks. You know, so, and I like doing it because it gives me a way of communicating with them more. I get to learn more about the person. The trust, you know, bonds together more. And I ask him, you know, if there's any
real community building.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just that's the main thing. If you get a group where you feel that you can trust the person to, like, say they're trusting me to remind them, like I trust say Anne to remind me about this meeting. You know, like once you get a bond, you got this bond, and you know, like you need them. You do need them.
You do. Now, if you were going to an external meeting, say once a month or something like that.
Yeah.
How, with that information that is associated with that meeting, when would you like to have that? How soon before?
Yeah. Probably, 2 days before. Or see, I've got a pin board now and I write things down. I've got things. Someone sent me out something like, and she sent me voice at the table letter, stating it's got the recipes on it and it's got where red, green or yellow, and it's got, what days the meeting is, what time. So I've got that on my board, and it helps have me having a pin board because, like I said, when I had the cancer and I had the tumor removed, I started forgetting a lot of things, like I don't forget names, but I can forget something that happened last week. But then I can remember things that happened 25 years ago. You know what I mean? So it's weird. Works weird. Sometimes I forget about them. Sometimes I don't forget. So it's just so good to have a reminder. Whether it's email, whether it's mail in the post, whether it's text message. We do need. Personally, some people might say that I don't need a reminder. Well, that's for them. But for me, I like reminders. You do now.
I'm in your camp there, Michael.
You're listening to That Chat.
It really highlights how someone with first-hand knowledge and lived experience are really the experts when it comes to those areas. Yeah. And for me, I think that's one of the most important things for an organisations. For them to listen to me and to what I have to say.
Definitely.
And is that similar for you, Michael?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly, mate. Like, I don't pretend to be, I'm no one special. I'm just like the next person sitting over side of me. But if they listen to what I've got to say, it's like, that's why I had a bloke from the police academy come up and said, I want you to come and speak to the cadet one day. Before we had the virus, I still haven't done it yet. It's on the cards to do, because you put it across there, and you put it across in the best way to send out the information, that the reminders of what needs to be done. The way we presented it that day, he loved it. So he jumped up virtually. He was one of the first people to come up and say, "Listen, I'm such and such. I'm from the police academy." I thought, "Oh, here we go. Maybe with my background." He goes, "I like what you said, mate. I know you passed, and I want you to come and speak to the cadets." Well, I was rapt, mate. I was over the moon. Your pop goes, "You should pull up in a divvy, mate." You know what I mean? He's got pictures down the road. But yeah. Wow.
But that's a great, great illustration of being the expert through your lived experience.
Exactly. I think
a very, very well. A very good way of putting it, really.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as he said on the day, what did he say? It was, okay, it'll come back to me, but, yeah, he said, who knew better to learn this from than people that have actually lived it? you know, lived the experience. So, yeah, he was happy with what I had to say, the talk that I gave on that day. And, yeah, I think, like I said, our group's going to grow. I mean, I'd like to sit down and have this conversation with you in another 12 months and tell you all the exciting things that have happened to us in that time. Because
definitely.
I'm not going to stop now that I've started it. Like I said, it gives me it's like me being not being able to breathe properly, and all of a sudden, bang, breathe. Or, you know, like the big lake down the road has got no water in it, and overnight, the next morning, it's full. You know what I mean? It's something like that. So it's good.
No, that's great to hear. Now, just going to finish up shortly, but we've just got one more question here. And thinking back to other meetings that you may have been to, what would it mean if a report was just handed up on the day of the meeting? You've had no prep time, you didn't know it was coming, it just turns up in the meeting. What sort of reactions and what do you think that would actually mean?
Well, for me, it would mean either the person that's given me the report to go over, either lazy or doesn't really care. The earlier you know, the better. And the more, the earliest warning you got, information you got of a meeting, upcoming meeting or something like that. But, you know, you can only grow from that. You can't go backwards if you know about it in advance. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I think on that upbeat note and full of all that wonderful information from Michael, I will say,
thank you.
Nothing about us without us.
Welcome to the latest episode of Back Chat. Today I'll be having a chat with Sue Smith from the Self-Advocacy Resource Unit. And our topic today is Doug Pentland, fondly known as a gentleman.
I once lived in Kalula. I was there for a long time. I didn't like it. I'm now living in the community. And I've got a deep concern for those who are in there now. I felt I left a lot of my friends behind. They should be out, and I want Kalula to close now.
Sue, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you, Warren.
I've watched the YouTube video of Doug in A Gentleman, and picked up a few conversation points along the way. But I think first off, we should speak about why Doug was such a good advocate and what made him so good at it.
His level of passion related to what he saw, the abuse, the deprivation, and so that drove him when he came out to just absolutely keep pushing to close institutions. When I first started meeting Doug, and why I called him a gentleman, is that he was so softly spoken, so gentle. As soon as he got up to present to an audience or forum, he just changed into just this strength of, this is what's happening, this has got to stop.
As you know, I'm an ex-resident from Sunbury. I can go back a long time. We had to put up with things that we didn't like doing. Close it down and be done with. That's all I can say.
Yay!
In the video, it mentions that he was an activist, as we've been talking about, an actor as well, and performed in, or was videoed in about 25 different things.
He did some fantastic acting. In one video we made with him, it was called Plain English, Less Jargon, and we filmed him with a bunch of bureaucrats. I think I might have been acting as one, using jargon in a big boardroom table. And the next scene, he's up on the jumped on the table and looking down at them and going, speak plain English, less jargon.
The paramount issues
align with the principle
of social role valorisation.
Independence and
community access are paramount issues.
So just so our listeners know, who are Reinforce?
So Reinforce is the first self-advocacy group in Australia. It came out of a conference, so it was 1981 that they set up, and at that time it was really about getting closing institutions. And they were a radical group. They were an activist group.
Close over now! Close over now! Close over now!
They squatted in a government building in one. I think it was Tom Roper when he was the minister. They pre the days when you could actually walk into a minister's office, not go through electronic things. He wasn't there, and they put their feet up on the desk and answered his phone when it was ringing. So they were real activists, and it really was around closing institutions. And there was, a community of people supporting them, and different times.
I think that's a great place to leave off this back chat episode. I'd like to thank you, Sue Smith, for sharing your experiences of Doug. I feel all the richer having heard these stories from you today. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the opportunity to just talk about the gentleman that we all knew him as.
Welcome to Jut and Joke. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men said, "Oh, we've got scrambled eggs for breakfast again."
Thanks to all the VAT Chat team and people who participated today, our co-producers Anne Van Leerdam and Warren Loram, our special guests Michael Main, Sue Smith for this week's Back Chat, the VAT Chat working group who steer the direction of VAT Chat, and last but not least, Justin O'Brien for Justin's Joke.
VAT Chat podcast is part of the Voice at the Table training, voiceatthetable.com.au.